words of prophecy, no matter where they come from, what their roots and source are, as long as they're incorporated into the Torah, become eternal messages. And I'd like to study with you a pasuk that expresses the essence of Amalek. And the topic of Amalek, Zechiras Amalek, Mechias Amalek, is so central. But we will take a look at this idea from a different perspective. The pasuk says, Reishis Goyim Amalek, Vachriso Adei Oved. We'll focus our attention on the last three words in this pasuk, Achriso. What happens at the very end, ultimately, at the end of days, to Amalek, Adei Oved, they will be destroyed. And even though Rashi indicates on the pasuk of Kriyat Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that ultimately the Umos HaOlam at the end of time will recognize and acknowledge the existence of one God, when there will be a system of perfection, of rectification with regard to the Umos, there will be a Tikkun. Nevertheless, with regard to Amalek, the pasuk prophesizes that there is no Tikkun, there is no rectification, even in the period of Achris HaYomim, ultimately there will be no possibility for Amalek, it will be terminated. And therefore, when we look at the period of Achris HaYomim, and we find that everything will experience its tikkun, its rectification, its perfection, if the tkufa of Achris HaYomim is one of total perfection, and yet, at the period with regard to Amalek, it'll be destruction and termination of Amalek, it must be that the period of Achris HaYomim is identical with the period of the destruction of Amalek, Vachriso Adei Oved, the Achris, the end, ultimately will be the destruction of Amalek. There's no room with regard to Amalek for tikkun, for rectification. And what is the reason for this? We have to go back to the Reisha of the Pasuk, the first three words, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Somehow Amalek is the Reishis. They begin, they kick off a process, which the result of that process that they kick off defines the nature of Amalek as Achriso Adi Oved. They will never be able to rectify, to be part of the perfection of the universe at the time of Achris HaYomim. And what does it mean? That's what we want to analyze, that Amalek is Reishis Goyim. We know that amongst the nations of the world, Amalek was the very first that attacked the Jewish people. They waged war against the Jewish people. All the other nations were opposed to Klal Yisrael. They would battle against them. There would be a very sharp conflict, a milchama, a battle between all the nations of the world against Israel. However, the first nation is Amalek. Reishis Goyim Amalek. Of all the nations to attack Israel, the first is Amalek. When the Torah says that Reishis Goyim Amalek Vachriso Adi Oved, the Torah is telling us in these words that because Amalek was the first nation to attack Israel, therefore it has no takana, it has no perfection, even in the period of Achris HaYomim. Reishis Goyim Amalek, because they were the first, they broke out against Israel in a battle, and the nations followed suit. There will be no tikkun, no possibility of salvation and perfection for Amalek. Even when there will be a tikkun, for all the terrible kilkulim of all the goyim and all the battles against the Jewish people, the subjugation of our nation, the destruction of our people in war, nevertheless, there still is room for perfection. Hashem Echad, there will be a day in which even the nations of the world will come to believe in one God. But with regard to Amalek, they're the Reishis. They kick off the process of the anti-Semitism, the pogroms, and the destruction of Israel, the wars against Israel. They will not be subject to rectification. So the parsha of the destruction of Amalek, which we find in Parshas Beshalach, and immediately thereafter, Vayishma Yisro, is it coincidental that the parsha of Vayishma Yisro is contiguous to the mitzvah of destroying Amalek? Why these two parshas combine, conjoin? The Chachamim say on the pasuk, "Let's take upesi yarim," taking apart this pasuk into two segments. Let's take is Amalek. Amalek is identified and defined as Letz, as Leitzonus. And the end of the pasuk upesi yarim is a reference, say Chazal, to Yisro. Yisro is the opposite of Amalek. He's not a Letz, but rather he's someone who takes things very seriously with a great deal of weight and an awesome seriousness. And the Mapola of Amalek, the downfall of Amalek, is not just meaningful for Amalek. It's not just in order to destroy Amalek, but the real goal and the purpose of the downfall of Amalek is for those who observe the destruction of Amalek, for the onlooker who takes notice and allows his heart and his soul to be impacted, to the idea of Melchemes Amalek and Mechias Amalek to penetrate into his heart. That's the Iker Toeles, the purpose of the destruction of Amalek. And why? Because Amalek is a Letz. That's the very definition, the essence of Letz. In Hilchos Leitzonus, Amalek is the Spitz, is the epitome, the personification of Leitzonus. We'll have to understand, and that's the purpose of Hashir today, what is Leitzonus? And the meat of a Letz is that he will not accept any rebuke. Any tochacha will have no impact on him. He is completely impervious to words of castigation. And Yisro takes note of this. He understands that Leitzonus is antithetical to tochacha. He, Yisro, is willing to accept tochacha. He's willing to observe the destruction, the downfall of Amalek, and learn from that. Tochacha, that he, Yisro, should transform his life. That's the flip side, antithetical to Amalek. That's Yisro upesi yarim. Where do we find that Amalek is identified with Leitzonus? Why do Chazal assume this identity, that the pasuk Letz is a reference to Amalek? Where is the midah of Amalek, the midah of Leitzonus? Now, Chazal tell us that all Leitzonus is prohibited. Whatever Leitzonus is, and we'll have to see, it's absolutely prohibited, except for one Leitzonus. There's only one exception, one Leitzonus that's not only permissible, but it's even praiseworthy, perhaps even obligatory. And that's the Leitzonus of Avodah Zarah, to make fun of Avodah Zarah. And it's very clear that this license that we have for Leitzonus with regard to Avodah Zarah is Bechol Pratov, even though Leitzonus in all its details, in all its expressions, comes from Tzad Hara, from the evil, and yet here we find that Leitzonus with regard to Avodah Zarah is Mutter, is acceptable. It's apparent that Avodah Zarah, in all its facets and dimensions, is evil, and therefore Leitzonus, with regard to Avodah Zarah, is really Leitzonus for every single detail and every dimension of evil that's personified by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Avel, and all of that Avel has to be subject to Leitzonus. That's what it means, chutz mi leitzonus d'avodah zarah. And the question that we want to address is, what is this leitzonus? Why did the Chacham want to give us an example of something that's evil, and they choose the sin of avodah zarah? There are many different sins they could have qualified. Why is this sin considered b'chol pratim in all its manifestations evil, and therefore any leitzonus and all leitzonus on all dimensions of avodah zarah is praiseworthy, is not only licensed, but perhaps obligatory. It has an element of a kiyum to it. And we want to study the insights of Pachad Yitzchak, And he bases himself on Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah focuses our attention, calls our attention to a pasuk, Mitzaref lekesef v'kur lezov v'ish lefi mahalolo. We want to emphasize, in particular, the last three words in this pasuk, ish lefi mahalolo. And the simple pshat in this pasuk, the interpretation of this pasuk is that a man could be recognized most distinctly by the way in which he's mahalel, ish lefi mahalolo. Halel means the things he finds praiseworthy, finds important and significant. When a person praises something, then we can begin to understand and appreciate who that person is. Rabbeinu Yonah says that that's not the pshat in the pasuk, but rather ish lefi mahalolo means that im, and we'll quote Rabbeinu Yonah, im ayim meshabech ha-maisim ha-tovim ve-achachomim va-tzadikim, if a person praises good deeds and good people, righteous people, wise people, teda, you should know, ubachanta, and you can discern, ki ish tovu, is a good man, v'shoresh ha-tzedek nimtza bo, and the source and the root of tzedek, of goodness and righteousness, is to be found in that person. It is very possible that he has sins that aren't obvious. But nevertheless, if you define his character's essence, he is a lover of righteousness, of goodness. He's an upright individual. However, the flip side is, if you see a person who praises lowly acts, despicable acts, or mahal rishoyim, or he praises evildoers, who are Rosh HaGomer, you should know that you can discern from who he's praising who he is. He himself is a Rosh. So if we go back to the simple pshat in the pasuk, and I want to reformulate what I said a few minutes ago, the simple pshat in the pasuk would be that ish lefi mahalolo, let's look at the way people praise him. We can decide and define the person by the way people praise him. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, it's not by the way people praise him, but ish lefi mahalolo, whom does he praise? If he praises the tzaddikim, then he has in his shoresh a source, a soul, of a tzaddik. If on the other hand he praises the rishoyim, then his soul can be identified as that of a rasha. And Rabbi Yonah says that, just to summarize, if we come and we're interested in a barometer, in some sort of an evaluation of a person, and to understand his character, the main question is, to what is he mevatel himself? That's called, in the language of the Pachad Yitzchak, tnuas ha-hisbatlu shalo. Where is his netiyah? To what direction does he tip his scale? Does he direct himself? And it's all depends on his tnuas ha-hisbatlus. In other words, tnuas ha-hisbatlus shal adam novas mikoach ha-koras ha-chashivus. He sees himself as secondary to something which is so important in his eyes, and to the extent in which he recognizes and acknowledges the significance of something, that will engender within him this tznua, this batlus, vis-a-vis that person or that thing. So when we want to evaluate a person, we want to, so to speak, detest a person, we ask ourselves the question, what is his hakara? What does he recognize? What does he consider chashivus, give chashivus to? What does he classify as being most significant? And you can have two different people, and if we compare them, we'll call one Reuven, the other Shimon. Reuven is osek b'Torah. He puts in 10 hours a day of learning Torah, b'shkida u'basmada, with great diligence. But Shimon is not at all an osek b'Torah. He has no time for Torah study. But despite that, we find that the first one has a tnuas ha-isbatlus to an usher. Let's say a rich person comes in and he falls kerim and he kisses his toes he considers himself secondary to a rich person who is machshiv. A Talmid Chacham comes in and he doesn't move, he doesn't flinch, he doesn't stand up from his seat. On the other hand, Shimon, who, as we said before, is not dedicated to the Torah of study, no way, no how, yet when he meets and encounters a Talmid Chacham, what overwhelms him is a relationship of chashivas and his batlus. He considers this Talmud Chacham to be so significant, and he himself is batel, he himself is secondary. In this case, says Rabbeinu Yonah, even though the first one, Reuven, is shoked belimud, he's dedicated basmada to his learning, nevertheless, despite it all, he, Reuven, the first one, is further than from Torah than Shimon. Why? Because of the rule of Ish Lefi Mahalolo. We have to look and analyze the Koach and the Tnu of his Batlus. If a person has a Koach, a certain power, a certain personality, of Hakaras Achshivus, of someone, because that person is related to Torah, then that itself indicates that the person who praises the one who's close to Torah, he himself has a koach hakaras achshivus to Torah that puts him in a superior level. Even though in guf alimud, if you talk about the learning itself, he doesn't have that learning to engender within him the greatness of Torah, but the fact that he lauds Torah, that he praises Torah, that he admires Torah, and that Torah is his mahalolo, that itself tests and indicates that this person is on a great level. And you could very often find two people that are in the middle of their lives. One of them dedicates his and has dedicated his youth to the study of Torah. The second one dedicated his youth to in Yoni Olam Hazeh, he was busy with this world. But now, when they're in midlife, so to speak, v'na'afachu, it's just the reverse. The first one really has, in a sense, regret that he didn't dedicate his youth to in Yoni Olam Hazeh, meaning to build up himself financially, etc., etc. The second one, he only regrets the fact that he didn't have the opportunity to dedicate his youth to the Torah study. The second one, Shimon, is closer to Torah than Reuven is. Even though the first one, Reuven, may be a bucky, he's an absolute scholar, he's an expert in Shas and Poskim, the second one knows nothing, but nevertheless, Ish Lefi Mahalolel. Ish Lefi Mahalolel tells me that everything depends on the Koach HaKoras Achshivus. What do you consider significant in your personality, in your Weltanschauung, in your worldview, in your emotional desire? That koach, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is the koach of hilul. Hilulo shel adam, the praise and that which a man puts up on high and lauds and admires, that is the expression of his hakaras chashivus. If his hakaras chashivus is for Torah, or a person who embodies Torah and Torah study and Torah knowledge, then the person, Ish Lefi Mahalolel, who recognizes Torah, is mevatel himself to the Talmud Chacham, he is the great, shall I say, not Talmud Chacham in the sense of guf alimud, but his identity with Torah by far supersedes someone else who, even though in guf alimud, he is on a very high level, but nevertheless, he doesn't look up to Talmidei Chachamim, he doesn't praise them, he doesn't see them as the most significant, he's not mevatel himself to them, he's impressed by other people. As we mentioned before in the example, by rich people, wealthy people, he's on a much lower level. And this principle of Rabbeinu Yonah, of Ish Mei Mahalolel, is something that we have to take in mind, and as we move forward to begin to understand what Leitzanus is, we have to keep this Rabbeinu Yonah in our back pocket. Because we'll continue this tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.